meet people that you don't like, but you got to love them anyway. That's after he called me up here. So I wasn't sure where he was going with that. But I promise you today, I'm here. I'll make everybody here happy. If you want to hear me talk, I'll talk for a little while. If you don't want to hear me talk, I'll shut up after a while. So everybody should be pleased by the end of the service or whatever. Here's something I need to say, that I have to say. Your pastor is not only a great man, but he's a great man of God. And he loves his congregation. He loves each and every one of you. And there's absolutely nothing that he would do that he wouldn't do for you guys. Nothing. He is always there for you. Is that the way you wanted me to say that?
Yeah, that's what I wanted you to say. Did you want to use the mic, or are you good?
No, as long as everybody can hear me, I'll probably get... it's okay to laugh in church. It's okay to laugh. I think that God has a sense of humor. And if some of you would come up here and look out, you would believe God had a sense of humor too. But so it's okay to laugh in church. When we talked about this, and we've been talking about this for a little while, me coming up here and speaking to you, he asked me, and I said, "Well, what do you want me to say?" So he said, "I just want you to introduce yourself and give them a little bit of your testimony." I said, "Okay." Well, after kind of studying and reading through and thinking about things, I'm not going to give you my testimony story this morning. I'm going to give you a little insight on me. And where I came from and everything else, but I won't give you my testimony. If everything goes well and you want me to come back later and give my testimony, I'll be glad to do that. First of all, I want to start off by, I grew up in Myrtle Beach. I lived in Myrtle Beach just about my whole life. I grew up in a preacher's home. I went to Myrtle Beach schools, Myrtle Beach High School. I attended Coastal Carolina University. I live in the area, been in the area my whole life. I married a lady from the Socasty area, so that's where we moved and we live. I have three children. I grew up in a preacher's home, which was a Pentecostal type home. My father was an Assembly of God preacher. We now attend Grand Strand Baptist Church, and I know that's where I'm supposed to be as far as my church goes, because this past summer they built a Krispy Kreme donut right across the street from there. And I do enjoy Krispy Kreme donuts. And I think that they are, when you get to a certain age, Krispy Kreme donuts are spiritual because they stick us closer than a brother. Just letting you know that. I enjoy the donuts. He said something about I look at things a little bit different. I look at things... I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I'll see things, not necessarily that funny things happen to me in life, but I see funny things in life. Does that make sense to you? And what I'm going to have to do is just give you a few examples so that you can see the way that I see, that way the rest of this day will be a little easier for you. When I read things or hear people talk, I see a picture in my head that's probably completely different than what some people see. Give you an example, some examples. Signs. I like to read signs. One sign I read one time, it said, "Police station toilet stolen. The police have nothing to go on." Think about it, and you'll see it. Same thing with newspaper articles. Newspaper articles are kind of funny to me. It said, "Man struck by lightning faces battery charge." Now you kind of see where, you see it. Churches aren't any different. Churches are pretty funny. I saw a church sign one time that said this. It said, "Don't let worry kill you, let the church help." Just kind of that's the way. Church bulletins are funny also. Church bulletins, we used to travel and sing quite a bit, and you read through the church bulletins and you could see the different things there that people really type, but I don't think they read very much. One of them said, if you have children and don't know it, we have a nursery down the hall. If you have children and don't know it, the last place you worry about is a nursery, okay? But I saw this one bulletin that was kind of funny to me. They didn't mean for it to be funny, but it was. It said, Weight Watchers meeting Thursday, 7:30. Please use the double doors at the side entrance. So it's just something that's how I see things. Unfortunately, or fortunately, sometimes that's the way I read the Bible. I see funny things in the Bible. One of the stories that I like to read that is not really funny, but kind of funny, is the story of Job. If you know the story of Job, you know, Satan's looking for someone who he can devour. And God said, hey, what about my servant Job? And he said, well, I can't mess with Job. You've got a hedge around him. And he said, well, I'll take that off. And so he went through, he took everything of Job's. He took his children. He took his land. He took his cattle. He took everything. He was sick. He had boils on him. He took everything from him except for his wife. That's funny to me because I can only imagine the picture in my head of Satan and God speaking and God going, well, you know, you have taken everything that Job has except for his wife. And I can see Satan going, I know. Ain't that funny? So I see things a little bit different. I read things a little bit different. Okay? Like I said, I grew up in church. I grew up understanding and listening to a preacher preach. I listened to my dad preach just to hear him make mistakes. That's just the way it was. I mean, my sister would sit there and laugh and then give him a hard time after it was over with. But I see things a little bit different, and I read things a little bit different. I grew up in Myrtle Beach. I grew up in a Christian home, a praying home. Kind of funny that they talk about prayer today. But I grew up with parents that prayed and that believed in prayer. And not only prayed, but had faith in their prayers. I grew up with a mother that I thank God every day that her prayers were answered. Because one of her prayers that she prayed most of the time was, Dear Lord, keep me from killing this child. Because I tested my mama and dad quite a bit every day. So I grew up in a home that believed in prayer. When my mother found out that she was going to have my sister and then me, my dad told me if she would pray. When she was pregnant, she would pray for us. She prayed for my health. She prayed for my education. She prayed for my wife. She prayed for my children. This is before I was born. She believed in prayer, and she had the faith. She had the faith to believe that her prayers were going to come true. And God did send me a beautiful wife and beautiful children and ones that stood behind me and supported me. And same thing with my sister. It's a prayer thing that goes very far. I want to read something real quick. Not a whole lot. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 14. I'm going to start with verse 8. It says this. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all of Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, Shall I go against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into my hands? And the Lord said unto him, Go up, and I will deliver them into thine hands. Skip down to verse 13. Said, And the Philistines yet again spread themselves in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, Shall he go up? And God said, no, turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when they shall hear a sound going into the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to the battle. For God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David therefore did as God commanded him. This is a story. There's several different things here in this story. First of all, in verse 8, it said that the Philistines had heard that David had been anointed king, so they went to seek David. Seek's a pretty funny word, because they used the word seek earlier in the Bible, and they used it when King Saul sent his men out to seek David. They weren't going to give him a party, to wish him happy birthday. They were going to kill King David. That's what they were going to do. So when David heard of it, you know, again, in my mind, what I see is David sitting in the war room with Schwarzkopf, Colin Powell, a lot of the different big battle people sitting there going, and all these people are saying, this is the plan. We need to come from this area to do this, to do that, to do that. And David said, hang on. Time out. He said, let me get alone for a minute. And David asked God, and he prayed for guidance. And in his prayer, he asked this, God, will you deliver my enemies into my hands? Not will you give me the strength to conquer my enemies. He wanted to know if God would deliver his enemies into his hands. And that's such a strong thing. And God said, yeah, go ahead. Well, they went down there. They destroyed them. In a couple of the verses that I didn't read, it says that they left their gods there. Now, if you read the Bible and you look, you know, when you're talking about God, it's a capital G. When you talk about gods that men serve, it's a small, lowercase g. But he went down, he got their gods, and he burnt them, and he took care of them. Then the Philistines came back down to the valley again to spread themselves out to seek David out once again. Then what happened was, you know, a lot of times when we go through situations, we may look at one situation exactly the same as what we looked at before. But see, God wants us to seek his face. God wants us to pray. God wants us to find direction. It may look the same, but he may have a different answer for you. He may have a different way of taking care of what you're going through. May look the same, may feel the same, may be the same. So when the Philistines came back to the valley, you know, again, they're sitting in their war room, and somebody's probably saying, well, we can get them the same exact way. We get them the same way we did before. And David said, hey, time out. Let's ask God. And he said, God, should we go forth like we did? And he said, no, David. You don't need to go forth. He said, what you need to do is go down there and set yourself by the mulberry trees. He said, then after you hear the wind, or after you hear the noise, then you go up and clean the spoils up. What had happened was, God had gone before David and taken care of his enemies. When they got in the trees, the mulberry trees, there's sounds that disorient them. They didn't know what they were doing. They turned on each other. They killed each other. And then David took his army in there. Same situation. God had a different plan for that. A lot of times what you go through in life, it you may see someone else go through. The answer for them is not the same answer for you. You have to seek God. You have to pray. You have to leave it there with him. This past summer, I had some health issues, or what I thought was health issues, and I prayed about it, and I kind of wanted to leave it there, leave it there with God. I didn't. I don't think I did, because I would hold on to it. I wouldn't completely trust and leave it there. But I don't have a radio in my truck, okay? My radio's out, so I have this little speaker, a little MP3 player that I play and listen to while I ride down the road. And you ever had a song stuck in your head? That you just over and sing over and over. It's about a week or so. This one song, I couldn't get it out of my head. So I'm riding down the road, and I turn my MP3 player off, and I start to sing this song. Now, I think it's funny, guys. I'm going to give a little secret away. I think it's funny when you hear a lady say, "I like him because he's a good listener." But do you really hear what they're saying? You can listen to the pastor preach, but do you hear his sermon? There's a big difference. Well, this particular song is an old hymn, and I listened to it all my life. I listened to congregation sing it. I've listened to choir sing it. It's an old hymn. I've listened to solos, duets, trios, quartets, mass choirs. I've listened to this song. But until I was riding down the road, I didn't quite hear what it was saying. And it's an old hymn. This old hymn says this: "What a friend we have in Jesus."
Oh, yeah.
"All my sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what loads of pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." See, I grew up in a preacher's home. I grew up with a family that prayed. I grew up behind the hill in Myrtle Beach. When you went out 10th Avenue, the hill was there, kind of the lower, rougher place in Myrtle Beach. You went past that. If you're familiar with Myrtle Beach 40 years ago, you'll know that you'll remember there was no bypass. You had to go into town to come back out. Well, you go past the hill, go through there, get to the right. That's Joe White Avenue now on 10th Avenue. You turn to the right, about 300 or 400 yards down on the right was a mobile home park called Bob's Trailer Park. That's where I grew up. Bob's Trailer Park. I didn't live in a preacher's home that went to big churches or anything else. I lived in a preacher's home that went to a place like that and started a church. He started a church with three children on the front porch. He had an old garage that had three walls. The owner of the trailer park let him clean it out and fix it up and finish the walls, and that's where we had our church. But he was a full-time pastor. So times weren't always easy for us. We didn't really know it because we had that love. And we had that prayer. Before you got to Bob's Trailer Park right there on the right, they had put a Merita bread place up. Right? And Mom would give us about 35 cents, and we could go to the Merita bread place, and we could buy what they called was day-old bread. And what day-old bread was it was stuff that was on the shelves. They took off the shelves because the date was out. Now, you touch that bread, if it cracked and broke, that's the one that you got, because if it was too hard, you didn't want it. And so Mom would send us over. She would do this. She would tear the bread up and put it in a bowl. Take some sugar, put it on top of it, and pour milk on it. If there wasn't enough milk for both me and my sister, she'd put a little bit of water in it. Spread it. It was still white. Spread it out. That was our cereal. That's how I grew up. I grew up in a house like that. I remember one Sunday morning, sitting, eating our breakfast, getting ready for church. My dad walks through, and my mom says this to him. That's all we have left in the house. It's nothing else. Now, my dad didn't go ballistic or go crazy. I know that he acknowledged my mom because she required acknowledgement like that. But he didn't make a big deal out of it. He said, okay. We went to church, which was right kind of next door. After church service was over, we came home. We came home and we sat down at the table where there was nothing. Nothing to eat. There was no water sitting on the table. There was nothing to eat at the house. And my dad began to pray. I'm a young man, a young child, and I'm going, what is he praying? And he prayed like there was a Thanksgiving meal in front of us. And I was scared because I wanted to open my eyes and see if does Santa Claus come or we got food? Because the way he was praying, it was there. It was sitting in front of us. Before he got to the end, and this is what I think is pretty amazing. Before you get to the end, if you have that faith in God, he'll step in. You see, and right before he got to the end, right before he said, in Jesus' name, before he could get amen out, a knock came on our door. My dad said, sit still. He got up, went to the door, and I heard the voice outside the door. It said this, Reverend Hodge, we felt led to come get your family and take y'all to lunch today. He said, whatever you have fixed, whatever you have ready, we're sure it's going to wait until later. Put it up. See, not only did he provide a way out, he provided a way that you couldn't say no. And not only did he and his family take our family out to lunch, he also gave my parents money to buy groceries for the week. So he went above and beyond. But it was that prayer of faith that we were praying at an empty table that fed us.
Amen.
And today, there's a prayer of faith that you can. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what loads of pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It's all because we do not carry everything to God. Are you carrying something today? Are you holding on to something? Is it work? Is it financial situation? Is it something that's not going right for you that you think? All because we do not carry everything to God. How about family? How about your family today? How about your children today? How about your grandchildren today? You need to be praying for them. There's things out there today I see every day that you need to lift them up and you need to pray for them. All
do not carry everything to God.
About your marriage, about your spouse, your husband, your wife. How about those things, and I'm guilty of this. How about those things that you want to hold on to just so you could maybe throw up in an argument later on? How about those things like that? You want to hold, you really don't want to give it all to God. All because we do not carry everything to God. How about where you're at? In Genesis, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree, God said this. God said, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was physically. He knew that. He could see. What it was Adam had walked with God every day. And then that day, he didn't show up. God wanted to know, Adam, where are you? I know where you're at physically. I want to know where you're at spiritually. Is God asking you that today? All because we do not care everything to God. Do you have something today that you need to leave with Him? Do you have something today that you need to give to Him, that you're holding on to? You would bow your head with me just a minute.